Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive.
It's great to be here.
Today we're tackling something pretty special, a request that came straight from the Living Word Prayer Group.
Oh yeah.
Yep. They asked us to take a closer look at chapter 10 of Ellen G. White's Steps to Christ.
That's a great chapter.
It really is. And you know what struck me the most?
What's that?
How it explores all the ways God communicates with us. It's like he's speaking a universal language, but we just need to tune in.
I like that analogy. It's so true. And this chapter really highlights how God uses everything from the natural world to our personal experiences to get his message across.
Exactly. And that's what we're going to be diving into today, all the different ways God reveres himself and invites us into a deeper relationship with him.
Should be a fascinating discussion.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
So let's jump right in. One of the first things White talks about is nature is God's primary language.
Right, like it's the foundation of his communication.
Yeah, she uses these vivid descriptions like green fields, lofty trees, babbling brooks. It's like she's painting a picture of God's presence all around us.
It's almost like she's saying, open your eyes, open your ears. God is speaking through the beauty of creation.
I love that. And it made me think about how much emphasis modern society puts on being indoors, on technology. We're kind of missing out on that direct connection with God's creation.
Absolutely. We're so plugged in that we often forget to unplug and just be present in the natural world to appreciate its beauty and the peace it offers.
And White makes this point that recognizing beauty in nature can actually help us cultivate inner beauty and simplicity.
It's a fascinating connection, right? It's like by appreciating the harmony and order we see in nature, we can find inspiration to create that same harmony within ourselves, which ultimately draws us closer to God.
It's like nature's a reflection of God's character, and by immersing ourselves in it, we get a glimpse of his heart.
Exactly, and that glimpse can be incredibly powerful.
So we've got this amazing natural world all around us, but White doesn't stop there. She goes on to use the striking analogy of the stars following their paths, and even the smallest atom obeying God's will.
I love that analogy. It's so simple, yet so profound.
It really is. It's like she's saying, look, if the entire cosmos operates according to a divine plan, why wouldn't our lives be part of that same grand design?
And that brings up the whole concept of providence, the belief that God is actively involved in our lives, orchestrating events for our ultimate good.
But that can be a tough concept to grasp, right? Especially when we face suffering or hardship. It's like, if God cares so much, why do we still experience pain and loss?
That's a question that's been debated for centuries, and there are different perspectives on how to reconcile God's sovereignty with the reality of human suffering.
Right, like some believe it's about free will, that God allows us to make choices, even if those choices lead to negative consequences.
And others see suffering as a necessary part of spiritual growth, a crucible that refines our faith and draws us closer to him.
It's definitely a complex issue. But even in the midst of those tough questions, White seems to offer this sense of comfort with the idea that God's care extends to every corner of creation. Like she uses that beautiful example of God caring for a tiny sparrow.
That's such a powerful image, isn't it? It's a reminder that we're not just insignificant specks in a vast universe. God sees and cares for each of us individually.
It's like he's paying attention to the smallest details of our lives, even when we feel lost and alone.
Absolutely. And that's a truth that can bring immense comfort and peace, especially in times of uncertainty.
Speaking of big picture stuff, White throws in this mind-blowing description of a future world free from sin and death.
Oh, yes.
She says it's so beautiful, our human minds can't even comprehend it. She even quotes 1 Corinthians 2.9, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him."
It's almost like we get these little glimpses of heaven through experiencing the beauty of nature here on earth, but the fullness of what God has in store for us is beyond our wildest imagination.
It's like a teaser trailer for the greatest adventure of all time, and it makes all the challenges of this life seem so small in comparison.
Exactly. And as members of the Living Word Prayer Group, I'm sure you've all had moments where you've felt a touch of the divine, a sense of peace or joy that transcends our everyday reality.
Oh, definitely. Those moments give us a taste of what's to come, and they remind us that even amidst the chaos of this world, there's something greater to look forward to.
It's all about perspective and understanding God's character. The more we learn about him, the deeper our appreciation becomes, not only for what he's created, but for what he has planned for our future.
And that future is something to get excited about. Okay, so we've covered nature, we've talked about this big picture idea of providence, and even got a glimpse of heaven. But where do we go from here?
Well, White goes on to explain that God doesn't just speak through these grand, spectacular things. He also communicates through the everyday, ordinary events of our lives.
Right. It's like he's constantly dropping these little hints, using everyday experiences as opportunities to teach us, to nudge us closer to him.
Exactly. And that's where the concept of providence really comes into play. It's about finding meaning and purpose in those everyday moments, recognizing God's hand at work, even in the mundane.
So it's not just about looking for big miracles or dramatic events.
Right. It's about paying attention to the little things, the unexpected blessings, the challenges that force us to grow. Those can all be ways God is trying to get our attention.
So it's like a constant treasure hunt.
I like that analogy. Yeah. We have to be actively looking for those treasures, those signs of God's love and guidance in our lives. And White emphasizes this with that beautiful quote, "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord."
I love that quote. It's so hopeful, so encouraging. But honestly, it's not always easy to see those signs, especially when we're going through tough times.
That's true. When we're in the thick of it, it's easy to get caught up in the negative, to focus on the pain or the frustration. But that's when it's even more important to remember that God is still there. He's still working, even if we can't see it at the moment.
So how do we cultivate that mindset, that ability to see God's goodness, even when things are hard?
I think it starts with prayer. Taking the time to step back from the chaos of life and just talk to God. Ask him, what are you trying to teach me through this?
And then being open to hearing his answer.
Exactly. Sometimes the answer comes through scripture. Sometimes it comes through a friend or a song or even a quiet moment in nature. But if we're actively seeking God's guidance, he will make it known to us.
Okay, so we've got nature, we've got providence, and then, of course, there's the Bible.
Yes, the ultimate guidebook.
And I love how White presents it not as some dusty old textbook, but as this vibrant, living way to connect with God personally.
It's like she's saying this isn't just a book of rules or stories from a long time ago. This is a love letter from your creator, a message written specifically for you.
It's about building that relationship, that intimacy with God.
Exactly. And it ties back into what we were talking about earlier with God using different languages to speak to us. The Bible is another one of those languages, a way for God to reveal his heart and his plan for us.
And it's not just about reading the words on the page, right?
Right.
White talks about eating the words of God, comparing it to the way food nourishes our bodies.
Right. She's emphasizing how vital scripture is to our spiritual growth. It's about internalizing those words, letting them sink deep into our hearts and minds, and allowing them to transform us from the inside out.
You know, this next part really got me thinking. White mentions that redemption, this idea of being reconciled to God, is a topic that even angels long to understand. Angels. That's pretty amazing. Why do you think angels would be so fascinated by redemption?
You know, that's such a good question. It really highlights just how incredible God's love is and the magnitude of what he accomplished through Jesus' sacrifice. Even heavenly beings are captivated by this act of love and mercy, this bridge between humanity and divinity.
It's like we get to participate in something much bigger than ourselves. We're part of this incredible story that unfolds across time and eternity.
And the fact that God would go to such lengths to reconcile us to himself speaks volumes about how much he values each and every one of us. It's mind-boggling when you really think about it. So how do we, as limited humans, even begin to grasp the depth of this mystery? What did White have to say about that?
Well, she emphasizes the importance of meditating on scripture. It's not just about reading the words, but about taking time to reflect, to ponder, to let those truths sink in.
So it's like the difference between skimming a news article and really immersing yourself in a good book. You get so much more out of it when you take the time to savor the words.
Exactly. It's about engaging with the text, asking questions, and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide your understanding.
So it's not a passive activity. It requires effort and a willingness to be open to God's leading.
Absolutely. But it shouldn't feel like a chore either. White emphasizes that Bible study should be a source of joy and delight.
And it should lead to a deeper understanding of God's character, which in turn leads to a more fervent and meaningful prayer life.
It's a beautiful cycle. The more we learn about God, the more we desire to communicate with him. And the more we communicate with him, the more we grow in our understanding. You know, thinking of the Living Word prayer group, I imagine this resonates deeply with them. As people dedicated to prayer and spiritual growth, they're actively seeking that transformation, that desire to reflect Christ's character in their own lives.
Absolutely. And White emphasizes that this transformation isn't meant to be kept hidden. It naturally flows outward, influencing how we interact with others, how we speak, how we live our lives.
It's like a ripple effect, spreading God's love and grace to everyone around us.
That's a great way to put it. It's about becoming more like Christ in every aspect of our lives.
So we've talked about nature, providence, and the Bible as ways God communicates with us.
Right.
But I think it's important to remember that understanding God's word isn't just for theologians or scholars.
Right.
White is very clear that the essential truths we need for salvation are accessible to everyone. It's not about having a degree in theology. It's about having a sincere desire to know God.
Yes. The Bible is for everyone, regardless of their background or education level.
But doesn't that mean we can just rely on other people's interpretations? Like, why bother studying it ourselves if a pastor or teacher can just tell us what it means?
Well, while learning from others is valuable, White does encourage personal study. She says, don't just take someone else's word for it. Dig in and discover those treasures for yourself.
So it's about that personal connection with God's word, that individual journey of discovery.
Exactly. It's about wrestling with the questions, allowing the Holy Spirit to illuminate the meaning for you personally.
And she compares this process to mining for gems. You have to put in the effort to dig deep, but the reward is worth it.
Absolutely. Those hidden truths, those nuggets of wisdom, they can enrich your life in countless ways.
I love that analogy. It makes studying the Bible sound like an adventure.
It is an adventure. And yeah. She emphasizes the importance of prayer before and during study. It's not just about our own intellect. We need the Holy Spirit's guidance to truly understand God's word.
So it's like we're collaborating with God as we explore his word.
Right. And that's where the real excitement comes in. And it really is a rewarding process. The more we invest in studying God's word, the more we discover about ourselves, about God, and about his plan for our lives.
It's like those hidden gems. They start to sparkle and shine and illuminate our path.
Exactly. And I think for the Living Word Prayer Group, this idea of digging deep into scripture, it probably resonates really strongly with them. They're already committed to seeking God, to growing in their faith.
Absolutely. They're putting in the work and they're seeing the results.
You know, one thing that White emphasizes is that understanding the Bible, it's not about mastering every theological detail.
It's not about becoming a scholar.
Right. It's not about having all the answers. It's about embracing that core message of God's love, redemption, revealed through Jesus Christ.
It's about the heart of the matter.
Exactly. And I think that's so important to remember, especially today, when there's so much information out there, so many different interpretations, it can be overwhelming.
It really can. It's like, where do you even begin?
Well, White encourages us to start with the basics. Focus on the gospel, on the central message of God's love, and let that transform your heart.
So don't get bogged down in the details.
Right. Grasp the big picture first. And then as you grow in your understanding, you can delve deeper, explore those nuances.
It's a journey, not a destination.
I like that. It's about constantly seeking, constantly learning, and allowing God to guide us.
And remembering that the Bible, it's not just a book. It's a living, breathing word with the power to change us.
It's a source of strength, guidance, and hope. And for the Living Word Prayer Group, I can only imagine how much they've experienced that power in their own lives.
And how much they've been able to share that power with others as they come together to pray, to study, to encourage one another.
It's such a beautiful picture of community, of shared faith, of supporting each other on this journey.
It makes me think about how much richer our own faith journeys can be when we have that kind of support system. People who challenge us, encourage us, and help us to see things from different perspectives.
Exactly. Iron sharpens iron, as they say.
It's about learning from each other, growing together, and spurring each other on in our faith.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I would just encourage everyone listening, especially those in the Living Word Prayer Group, to keep seeking, keep exploring, keep asking questions.
Don't be afraid to wrestle with the tough stuff, to challenge your own assumptions, to dig deep and discover those hidden gems.
Because the more we invest in our relationship with God, the more we'll be amazed by his love, his grace, and his incredible plan for our lives.
Beautifully said. Well, that brings us to the end of another deep dive. Thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
And until next time, keep seeking truth, keep asking questions, and keep the conversation going.